Welcome to Career Tools. Discussing your mental health with your boss. The ultimate, part four of four. Here we go. This cast answers these questions. Should I talk about my mental health at work? How should I talk about my mental health at work? And how should I handle my mental health at work? Hey folks, if you're going to have a big conversation like this, mental health, with your boss, you ought to know how it's best to communicate with your boss. And the best way to learn how to do that is to attend our Effective Communicator Conference. Different people communicate differently. Some people are assertive, wave their arms around a lot. Some people are more reserved. Some people tend to be more people-focused, smile a lot, use names. Other people, less so. If you're going to have a tough conversation with your boss and you don't know how he or she is different than you in terms of their communication behaviors, it's going to be much harder to get your point across. So come to the website. We've got public conferences, both in person and virtual, happening virtually every week. Hope to see you there. All right. We want to get to what's really important, which is everybody wants to know, how should I talk to my boss?
Carefully.
And I think the answer
is very carefully.
Indeed. Yes. Hey, you know, in writing, folks, there's a rule. Anytime you see the word very, take it out. It's like, you know, when somebody tells you they're particularly unique. Well, since the word unique means singular, you can't be particularly unique unless you're unique among all the other uniquenesses in the world, which I find an interesting comparison. But we really do mean very here. Those of you who think of yourself as careful, good, and now add an extra layer, put on another coat before you go outside into this storm, because other people will be affected. It is not just about you.
This is high risk, much higher risk than most people think. And we would love to tell you that we have the exact words to use that would guarantee a positive reaction from your boss.
Oh, come on.
We don't say that ever.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Folks, just to be clear, I'm not sad. Wendy is sad. I am not sad that we don't have the words that guarantee something. Because if we had the words that guarantee something, I would have stopped working about 20 years ago, been a multiple billionaire, played golf every day, been a member at Cypress Point, and given away a great deal of my fortune by now. But this is still Career Tools, and we can tell you an awful lot that will get you very close to you feeling that you had a good experience in the process of attempting to come to a satisfactory conclusion regarding the triumvirate of your organization, you, and your disability, whether it's allowed or official or not.
Don't take the fact that your boss sounds receptive to mental health matters, things that they've said. They still might not react the way you want them to. Bosses who've reacted well to other team members' mental health matters might not react to you in the same way. Even people that you think, I've got a really good relationship with my boss. This is such a delicate matter. There's such a delicate area. You still might not get a reaction, the reaction that you expect. So the first thing to do is decide what you're going to say. Because one of the symptoms of many mental illnesses is an inhibition of cognitive process. So thinking, remembering, speaking, and reacting all at once, as we do in a conversation, becomes much harder. So if you combine that with a conversation that you're anxious about, then it's really easy to struggle, to forget what you were going to say, or just not be able to describe what you need.
So that's the mental health way of looking at it. I thank you for sharing that. I know that to be true, but I don't always behave as if that's true, and I have to do better there. However, the other side of the coin is, this is an important conversation. You are not showing respect for the company or your boss if you do not take the time to prepare. And by prepare, I mean the same thing I mean when I tell people the way you prepare for a speech is you rehearse over and over and over again. So I'll give you a simple rule of thumb if you worked for me. If you came to me and I got the impression you were talking offhandedly about a situation, I would downgrade your request for help significantly, because I would think you have not behaved professionally about what you're asking me to do professionally for you. This should be to the point of rehearsal. And that ought to take a great deal the uncertainty out of it. In fact, I would have no problem if one of my directs came to me and said, Mark, I'm starting by saying, I'm really quite nervous about this. Well, to me, that is a very kind thing to say to me, because it helps me understand this is not like the 99,000 other conversations we have every week. And I must do my best now to make a mental and physical assessment of myself and do everything in my power for this colleague whom I love to be an approachable, good, empathetic listener. That helps me. And then if someone said to me, and so I've prepared a short speech. Now, I think a lot of bosses would raise their eyebrows and go, holy Toledo, Batman. I would not. I would say, well done you. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is important. And so you made it important in your preparation? I got to tell you, the people, there's a famous, very popular Broadway show, which has turned into a public thing called Wicked. It's a fantastic show. The libretto and the music is just absolutely to die for. The original leads, Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth, are Broadway goddesses. And in it, there's a song called Dancing Through Life. And the story is about a guy who just doesn't prepare. I'm just going to skip through life and everything's going to be great. And he gets his comeuppance. That's not the world of professionalism. The world of professionalism rewards hard work, dedication, shoulder to the grindstone, nose to the wheel. And if we haven't convinced you that this is an important conversation, you might as well stop listening, because we're going to ask you to do your homework, because it is important. So good. Thank you for pointing that out, Wendy.
And when we're talking about rehearsal, you might want to practice with your mental health professional or a trusted friend. Help.
Yeah.
Sometimes practicing the words helps. So what to include? What your diagnosis is and how that's affecting your ability to work effectively, what you're doing on your own to mitigate it, what accommodations you would find helpful, what your doctor says about the prognosis.
Yeah, can I go back though? When you say what accommodations you would find helpful, I would not use that word accommodations.
No, I'm sorry.
Accommodations are a legal thing, and you don't want to suggest, I am about to suggest to you some legalities you need to do for me. Yeah, so here are some things I'm doing for myself. Here are some things you might consider that might help me.
What your doctor says about the prognosis, when you're given the next update, and then ask for feedback.
Yeah, okay. So give us an how might it sound?
Example. Boss, I'm sure you've noticed I've been struggling lately. I've been suffering from depression. It's affecting my ability to think clearly and be as productive as I am normally. And I also struggle to get going in the morning.
Hold on one second. I want to go back. A suggestion from a longtime boss. And let's be honest, I think some of you would think that I am a forceful, direct, no-nonsense boss. And you would be absolutely right. If you need a hill taken, I'm your guy. And I'm prepared to discuss the bloodshed necessary to do it in a battle situation. On the other hand, I've managed several people with mental health issues in my career. And I'd like to think, it's not my strong suit, but I'd like to think that I am respectful and accommodating without using the legal definition of that word. But I would say that as I'm hearing this, I'm sure you've noticed I've been struggling lately. I find that too thin a broth. In order for me to understand that you feel I've noticed, you have to say, I'm sure you've noticed I've been struggling lately. I did X, I did Y, I did C. I want specific answers, because I have to tell you, if somebody comes to me and says, I've been struggling, it's almost like they're asking me to bless all of their mistakes.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to do that in this conversation. On the other hand, if you want to use the word struggling, which, by the way, has been co-opted by a lot of folks in the not legitimately disabled category, and they want absolution. And I'm sorry, that's not the way to get it from me. Now, folks, I'm not saying I'm every man. I'm not. I'm a high D boss. But I've been struggling lately. obviously you saw how I did on X and how I did on Y and how I did Z, and I'm disappointed in myself, and you were right to correct me. Now that, okay, now I'm on the same page with you. Now I understand your definition of struggling. Because someone who has real mental health problems for years has been struggling all along.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just go a little further there. All right, that said. Now, the next bit I think is super powerful. Go on.
I am seeing a psychiatrist who's prescribed medication and a therapist who's helping me with mitigation strategies. I find it easier to think in the afternoon, so I've been moving some of my heavy lifting meetings to then, and that does seem to be helping.
Okay. Is it, well, by the way, I'm always curious about these situations. Is that something that you in your research for this, that's a mitigation, is to do thinking in the afternoon rather than the morning?
Yes. Yeah, depression and bipolar and lots of the mental health things that cause you not to sleep well,
mm-hmm,
mean that it takes longer to get going in the morning, and sometimes the afternoons are easier.
Yeah. Okay, good.
It would be helpful to me if we could move our normal 8:30 meeting to 9 a.m. so that I could get a little longer to prep. My therapist's availability outside of work hours are limited, so it would be helpful if I could see her during work hours. It would be about 90 minutes out of the office once a week, and I'd make it up in the evenings when I'm feeling good.
Okay. I like the, hey, I'm going to take some time, but I'm going to give it back to you. I mean, folks, I'm not trying to say this is tit for tat. I just don't want it to be, here's a list of my demands.
Exactly. Yeah. My doctor says that I should start feeling the effect of the medication in about 6 weeks. I'll let you know if there's a change for the better or worse during our O3s. My therapist told me that it's sometimes difficult for people with depression to understand what someone else would see happening, and it would be helpful to me if you give me feedback if you see issues. I'd rather be upset in the moment than cause a major disruption to the team.
Oh, that's nice. So you're saying that you would be willing to discuss your mental health candidly with your boss during a one-on-one?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, of course, folks, I think that what Wendy is saying is not that she's mentally ill and talking about her and I. I think what she's saying is that is an acceptable way to talk to your boss and to essentially build a bridge of communication, start building the structure of framework for communication between a mentally disabled or disabled employee relative to mental health with their boss. Yeah.
I think it's reasonable to assume, it's reasonable if somebody is helping you through a situation to give them updates. And it doesn't need to be, you know, I told my therapist this, this, and this. It just means I'm feeling better or I'm feeling worse.
Okay. Well, what would you say, though, to the people who say, well, this is a private matter?
If you want to keep it a private matter, then you can. It's up to you. But then you can't expect someone to help you if yes. You want to keep it to yourself. It's you have to give a little.
Yeah. And let's put it this way, folks. That's not us saying that. That's the law. You can't say, I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to hold you accountable for it. That is a road to misery.
Here's a different example.
Okay.
Boss, I need to have a difficult conversation with you. I don't know if you know this, but I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder when I was a teenager. For the last 10 years or so, my medications have been working well, but in the last 3 months, they don't seem to have been effective. The additional workload from this new acquisition is overwhelming me.
Can I interrupt you here? I'm sorry. I'm going to do it again. But one of the things I've learned over the years is that the medications that they can do, that they can provide to folks who truly are mentally ill, are astounding. And they are delicate concoctions, and that they work on the brain chemistry, and that changes the brain chemistry. It's my version of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle. In order to measure something, you have to change it. And what that means is some of you, us lay people, which is what I thought many years ago, you take X and now you're fine.
Yeah.
No, you take X and you're fine, but it's much more of a sine wave or a gradual decline followed by a tsunami followed by a gradual decline. And there's constant new titration, there's new drugs, there's new therapies that work differently with different drugs, and so on. So the idea that you as a manager would be having a conversation with someone about the fact that their brain's response and therefore their work ability is changing because of a period of time with a drug. By the way, it's such a new science. We don't know why those things happen the way they do, but thank God there are pioneering doctors and pharmaceutical companies that are creating these miracle drugs. It is not a light switch. It's like a symphony. It's like the violin is going up and down, and sometimes it's pizzicato, and sometimes it's long, smooth bow strokes. And so, yeah.
And there's a lot of trial and error involved. Oh. Finding the right drugs, finding the right combination. And then there's something called the poop out effect, where they just stop working for no reason.
Well, look, I'm familiar with this, where, okay, we're going to try something new. And there's hope in the patient that it's going to work. And right. Then it doesn't. And that makes things worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
That's okay. I have seen my doctor, and she would like to see me weekly while we try some medication adjustments. She thinks it'll take up to 3 months to find something effective. I've also taken a leave of absence from my volunteer role with the Scouts just to give me some mental bandwidth. I know we can't drop all this work, and I'm concerned about my ability to deliver it to the standard you would expect. Is there anything else we could do to reduce the workload, at least in the short term? If not, I think I'm going to have to ask for a reassignment.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think I would, as a boss, be very much appreciative that you said reassignment. I'm not saying it solves my problem. That may be a different problem. But without that, that comes across as, I need you to lighten my workload.
Exactly.
As opposed to you saying, I'm prepared to take a reassignment. And I heard in that a reassignment at a less challenging role,
yes,
which by definition would pay less.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what you have to do. But I think the willingness, you know, this is how far it goes. And in, yes, that example, the employee could have left out the details of his condition. It's,
right.
It's possible that the entire workload was too much for anybody because of this acquisition, whether or not they had a mental illness. And that's a reasonable conversation to be having with your boss outside of mental health issues. You know, if your workload, yes, is too high and you can't cope, then, you know. We talked a little bit about being unwilling to share personal medical information with your boss.
Right.
If you want the benefits of accommodations or even just some grace for a period, you have to be willing to share why. It's not reasonable to expect the company to take action which costs money, even if that's accepting your lower performance, without at least having some understanding of the reason. And it's not reasonable to expect your boss to give you air cover or grace or more without sharing the backstory. And,
yeah,
you know, there's no need to say exactly what you said to your therapist. That's my experience. If I say what I said to my therapist, it, you know, I'm just a bubbling piece of jelly on the floor. So that wouldn't be helpful to anybody. But, you know, I'm discussing my struggles at home with my eldest child's illness with a therapist. You know, assuming that your boss already knows that you have children and that one of your children is ill, then that's a reasonable, yeah, level of, you know, disclosure.
And, you know, listening to you talk about this, the sad thing about this, the sad commentary about the world of management, is that most managers are not anywhere near trusted enough for someone to say, wow, I think I'm going to do that. Manager tools managers are, because they busted their tail to get there, overcoming the fear of role power and so on in their directs. But if you wonder why these things become court cases and HR gets involved, what that is screaming to you is untrustworthy bosses.
Sadly.
Yes, sadly. That's why manager tools exist. That's why our mission is every manager effective. And if you can't have this conversation with one of your directs, you're not an effective manager.
One timing note, do not have this conversation right after you've received negative feedback.
Oh, dear God.
It just sounds like
you.
You're making, oh, yeah, excuses.
Yeah. Yeah, you would go into this conversation like it's a normal conversation,
yeah,
a work conversation, where the system is larger than you and your boss, but the idea here is, I need to talk to you. The same way when your role changes, your boss is going to come to you and say, hey, I need to talk to you. the winds are blowing differently up above us, and there are some effects on us, me and you and everybody else, and I feel obligated to tell you and let you know what's coming down the pipe. Yeah, that's good.
It's a personal topic, and one way you can't predict what your boss is going to, you know, what their assumptions or their prejudices are, but it's also a reasonable professional conversation about limitations if you keep it there. Some of us aren't good at math, me.
Oh, let me tell you, folks. I'll tell you how bad Wendy is at math. And this is a joke for those of you who know a little bit about Britain and the United States. She calls it maths with an S. And by the way, the Brits all think Americans are crazy because math is a shortening of mathematics. No one refers to mathematic. And so the Brits find it amusing that we call it math. And we think it just proves that they don't know anything about addition and subtraction when they say maths. But Wendy is spectacularly bad at math, usually orders of magnitude. So much so, I almost bought her. I have one. I almost bought her. I'm not going to explain what this is. I'll let you go do a Google search. I almost bought her a Napier's Bones.
Gives me height. I remember those.
Do you?
We learned those in school.
Yeah. Oh. I'm not going to say anything more. I can tell you this. Those of you who think of yourself at all technical or technological, you should do a Google search on it. I suspect you've never heard of it. But those of you of a certain age will appreciate the other thing that the guy who invented Napier's Bones invented. Feel free to send me mail at, what is it? mahorstman@manager-tools.com. Okay,
I'm
sorry.
Curious.
Yeah. Oh, it's quite lovely. Folks, if you're listening and you don't get any emails from us, I sure would like you to become a member. We continue to try to grow our service to the world through free podcasts like Manager Tools and Career Tools, and we would like your help. Doesn't cost a thing to come to the website and register. There are benefits associated with becoming a member. I won't list them all here to save you time so you can get back to the cast, but we know there are a lot of you out there who are silently lurking and listening, and we hear from you every once in a while. And we sure would like a relationship with you. So come to the website, sign up, become a member. Thanks. Now, back to the show.
So some of us aren't good at math. And it's better for everybody if we're not assigned tasks which rely on mathematical ability. There is no way that anybody at Manager Tools would assign me adding things up, like accounts or anything, because I'm useless at it. And I know I'm useless at it. Some of us are more persuasive than others or more logical. And it's appropriate for us to have conversations with our managers about maximizing our strengths and minimizing our weaknesses.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And even the most mentally healthy people can have transient mental health issues due to events in their lives. We don't expect professionals to be 100% all of the time.
No one does. No. Right, yeah.
Because, you know, a colleague...
divorce, physical illness, it's not a straight line. There's a wave in there.
Exactly.
And others pull heavier on, more hard on the rope when that person needs to step away. Yeah, I would suspect that we don't go in with a half-hour-long conversation.
No, I think the first conversation, we recommend you make it a limited one. Just focus on what's happening, how it's affecting your work, and what you need right now.
Yeah.
And if you get a positive reaction, you can choose to share more over the coming weeks. And pay attention not only to your boss's reaction to the conversation, but what happens in the next couple of weeks. And if you're struggling with memory issues, which most of us with mental health issues do, note down what you see, because it's easy to forget what day it happened, what happened. You know, your boss might have been positive in the meeting, but not done anything differently, or they might have taken action that you consider to be representative of a prejudice against people with your illness. And we don't want you to take notes because you're documenting what your boss did or didn't do, just so you can clearly recollect what happened and share it with your doctors.
Exactly.
Because, you know, mental illness distorts your understanding of what's happening.
Yeah. And this is, I think, exacerbated in the workplace because people, as I've made a case many times in Manager Tools, I'm not a guest on Career Tools as much as I used to be. I'm a guest in my own shows. I find this fascinating. But I find that people don't understand the underlying principles of organizations. Bosses don't understand and think it's crazy to believe that bosses should be voluminous encyclopedic knowledge bases of things like mental health or the DSM or legalities. I mean, that's why we have HR and a legal team. God bless them. But the combination of not understanding how organizations work, which we're not accusing of anything, folks. We're giving you cover because no one else does either. Now, it's easy to learn. And if you listen to enough manager tools and career tools, executive tools, you'll learn it. But that, on top of a lack of the understanding of mental illness and the laws and accommodations and so on. Look, if you had to roll the dice, you'd say, this is never going to turn out good. There are too many unknowns, too many not intelligent players in the discussion. It's like Ted Lasso in football.
Yes.
I mean, come on. So if it's important to you and you do it rarely, the Horstman Christmas rule applies. And that means you're going to have to work really hard to be good at it. You might even say, you know what? I've been feeling a little bit of this. And so you might choose, and I would completely support it. In the next 6 months, I'm going to work on my relationship with my boss. I'm going to do all I can. Recognize you should do that all the time. I try not to use the word should in management. So we recommend you do that all the time, even though your boss is much more controlling of you. Your boss has much more input into your relationship with him than you do, but you can still do your utmost so that any goodwill that you possibly could have will be in full effect when you have this conversation. I would honor that kind of thinking in decades, mm-hmm. that cultures are, there are some cultures who tend to be more in the moment and mm-hmm. some cultures who tend to think more in terms of decades and centuries. So,
and remember, most bosses don't have any experience of mental illness or managing someone with it.
Yeah.
And the actions they take might not be what you wanted or expected, but they may be doing them in good faith anyway.
Yep.
So assume positive intent.
Positive intent, yeah. So can you summarize for us?
So there's been a movement towards more understanding and acceptance of mental illness, and that's a positive thing. We're glad for it. But we can't assume that all bosses are advanced in their attitude or experience. So get support, prepare yourself, and then have the conversation. And we hope you feel better soon and that you have a positive experience with your boss.
That's lovely. One of my favorite casts of all time. It's got to be a Hall of Fame cast. It just has to. There are so many layers to this thing. And Manager Tools stands by. Career Tools stands by. Executive Tools, too. And the company, Mark and Mike's company, stand by the idea that all human beings deserve to experience the joy of productivity and service to other people. And if, whether we call them accommodations or not, if allowances can be made for more people to do that, we stand four square behind that. That's it, folks. Nearly 2 hours on mental health. And for those of you who have struggled with mental health challenges, we hope you feel that we have done a more than adequate job of addressing how you can be helped by organizations who care about their people and by managers who care about their people, which is the starting place for any good Manager Tools manager. See you next week with another topic on Career Tools.